Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Alice Hoffman has just come out with her first book of nonfiction. It is titled Survival Lesson. She has spent the last 40 years writing books, 21 novels, 8 children's books, 3 story collections. Those books have been major motion pictures, Oprah picks, and many of them New York Times bestsellers. But in all of those years, she never found a reason to write nonfiction, until she couldn't find the book she needed to read when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. That book is now Survival Lessons, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alice Hoffman back to the roundtable. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Is this a difficult book to talk about?
You know, it's not as difficult as I thought it would be, because I think enough time has passed. It's been 15 years since my diagnosis and treatment. I think I needed all that time in order to be able to talk about it.
As I said in the introduction, you couldn't find the book that you were looking for. What were you looking for?
You know, I was in such shock that I was really pretty clueless about how to be a sick person and how to get through a traumatic time. And so for me, this book is kind of the book that I wish that a friend had given me when I was first diagnosed. And to tell you the truth, I feel like I wrote it for myself in many ways.
I was struck by the fact that, and you make this point in the first pages of the book, that yes, you were not used to being a sick person, and you were not used to that, but you were looking for information about your cancer, but then those around you were also dealing with cancer, which I assume was very much a part of the equation.
Oh, it really was for me. At the same time that I was diagnosed, my mother had breast cancer, and my sister-in-law had just passed away from brain cancer. And my husband's sister, when I was diagnosed, she went to get a mammogram, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer. So it seemed like it was everywhere in our family.
In the talk about this being a book that you wanted and for you, it seems that you only could have written it with some perspective, with some time, as you mentioned, 15 years ago. So it comes with, I assume, some thought and a lot of thought and time that allows you to work through much of this.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like I'm working it through, because I feel, you know, sometimes a curtain kind of opens and you realize, it's kind of like you grow up and you realize that you're going to lose people. And you realize that death isn't a concept, it's a reality. To some people it happens when they're very young, if they lose a parent or a sibling, you know, or if they're ill. For some people it happens later, and for me it happened later. I was kind of in a dream world, and when things took a turn, I really didn't know what to do and how to react and how to respond. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that I wrote the book.
And so you write the book in a way that it presents lessons that you've learned, beginning with choose your heroes, which is in identification. And I guess ultimately for most of us, for many of us, they're there, but we have to really put that label on them, right?
Right. And for me, my heroes were people who survived. I just felt, you know, for me, I was drawn to reading about Holocaust survivors. I was like in awe. I couldn't believe what people were able to bear and overcome. And I was also kind of remembering the women in my own family who had been immigrants, who had lost children, and who continued on. And that continues to amaze me how strong some people are.
When you were diagnosed, and you write in the book about enjoying yourself, of eating chocolate, the old Jerry Seinfeld line of the great thing about being adult is you can have a cookie when you want a cookie. So you realize that. Did that come early or later?
Oh, it was a very hard lesson for me personally to learn, because I think I was so busy with kind of the everyday minutia of my life and getting things done and working and kids and laundry and work that I could barely stop to really look at what was beautiful in the world. I needed to slow down, and I needed to make every day count, and I still have a lot of trouble with that. So for me, it's a continuing learning of these lessons.
And does that take a conscious moment of saying, I have to look out this window and I want to see the beauty that is out there?
I mean, for me, it does. I think everybody's different and people respond differently. Some people have optimism in their DNA. Some people don't. For me, it's a lesson. I really have to stop and learn to do this and to look outside the window and see the leaves changing color and see how beautiful the world is.
Mm. Does fear enter into it in the sense that you never know what or if it will return?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's probably true for all cancer survivors. And I think it's true for all trauma survivors, you know, that, you know, once kind of like the shoe drops, you're waiting for the other shoe. And that's something that I think, you know, that we all have to deal with as we're going about our daily lives and trying to live a meaningful life, despite the fact that we know that sad and terrible things may happen in the future and will happen in the future.
You talk in the book, and in most of the lessons, I'll start off with the same word, which is choose.
Yeah.
So there is that choice, and obviously a lot of thought goes into that. You talk about choosing your friends, about choosing your relatives.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because the whole idea of choose, I didn't realize until after I'd written the book that every lesson, every chapter started with choose. And I think what happened for me and what happens for a lot of people, but I know what happened to me, is I felt acted upon. I felt like this was happening to me. Why was this happening to me? That I had no choices and no strength. And I think I had to remember that I might not be able to control everything, but I could control my reactions to things. And I could control what I chose, for how I chose to spend my time in the world.
So the old saying, and you write about this, you can't choose your family, but you can choose who you're going to be around.
Exactly. I mean, you can choose not to spend time with people who make you feel terrible, especially during times of trauma, you know, and that doesn't mean you're writing them off forever, but it's a choice that you can make.
And the idea of not writing them off forever, does this whole philosophy and these lessons, do they have an expiration date in the sense of, is this through the time until you get a clean diagnosis, or is this post-cancer, or is this until I've reached a new chapter in my life?
I think it's kind of a forever thing, because I think, you know, as we live our lives, you know, we continually face challenges and have to remind ourselves of certain lessons, you know, of that there is still beauty in the world, that we're living this day, we have this day, and nobody knows what's going to happen next. And I think I really do think this is something for me that I have to put in practice for the rest of my life.
Does it change you as a novelist?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Completely, it does. I think I've always written about love and loss, but I think for the past 15 years, I have been much more interested in survivorship. I wrote a book called The Dove Keepers, which was about the Siege of Masada. And I'm writing, I have a new novel coming out, which is about the Triangle fire in the Triangle Factory in New York in 1911. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to find out how people manage to survive.
And that idea of survival as written by a survivor comes from that perspective, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I feel that when I read stories about how people manage to get through very difficult times and difficult losses, I'm really in awe, and I feel like I'm a student. I want to learn this for myself, because I do feel like during these times, you find out who you really are, and you have to come to terms with, you know, who you really are deep down in your soul.
When people will label you as a survivor and as a hero and as someone who has battled cancer, I have heard several people who have written on this issue and talk about, well, okay, but I didn't really have a choice. I just wanted to live. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's interesting, because I've been thinking a lot about it, because just recently Michael J. Fox had come out and said he's done so much for Parkinson's, and
right.
He's really changed the world and changed the course of that disease for other people, and he came out and said he wouldn't have had it any other way. And I think it's because he's done so much with his life because of that disease, you know, I'm not sure how I feel. I certainly feel like I'm a different person than I would have been. And maybe, hopefully, I have more understanding than I had before. And for me, I think it's the ability to understand other people and have empathy for them. That may be kind of on the plus side of having gone through a trauma yourself.
And through the choices that you have made and that you outline in the book, are there any regrets?
Oh, tons. I mean, I think there's always regrets. You always look back at it and say, I wish I had done this. I wish I had to talk to this person. I wish I had forgiven this person before they passed on. I think, you know, life is filled with regrets, but I think the difference is if you learn from those mistakes and you try to live your life in the best way that you can.
And in now, living in the best way that you can, the cancer is far removed?
One hopes.
Right. But I mean, even in your daily, I mean, now you have written a book and you're talking about it a lot, but in your day-to-day life, when life moves on and you start back on the novel that is upcoming, that it's not the constant reminder that it once was.
You're so right. I think it kind of like you get further and further away from it. And that's great in some ways, but for me, I also kind of forgot the lessons that I learned about slowing down, about taking time, about making things beautiful, because I'm further removed from it. So if anything, I feel like I need more of a reminder to kind of stop and smell the roses.
I would think when you open this door and you write a book about this, that you're going to be filled with reminders from people who have stories about their survival lessons.
Yeah, I think actually for the past 15 years, I have been in contact with a lot of people who are survivors, who have lost people. And I think there's been more of an open door between writers and readers. And I do have a lot of readers who have experienced this. And it's very emotional, and it's really a tie that kind of binds you together.
The name of the book is Survival Lessons. It is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. Alice Hoffman, it's always a great pleasure and a delight to speak with you. I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. So nice to talk to you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Survival Lessons. It is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.